My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Dan Devone is not just a person, he's an entity. He is, in some cases, omnipotent.
Do you want to be on top?
Now back to 95.7 The Game.
Oh, that is not right. All right, Evan Giddens.
Oh, God.
Jersey Ken joining you here on a Saturday. As we talk about Klay Thompson, certainly here for you if you want to kick that around. Klay Thompson, if you just joined us, scrubbed his social media account of all things Golden State Warriors. What does that mean in terms of the negotiations? What does that mean in terms of him coming back and playing for the Warriors? Keep in mind, he's a free agent. Remind me again, Ev, when is the free agent period? Is
July 1st. July 1st. Starts on July 1st officially. Yeah. But a lot of the news starts to leak out, I would say, the week before. And then around the July 4th holiday is when kind of everything gets cemented.
So a lot of people are reading between the lines. I personally think it's a weenie move. It's above what Clayton, forget about any young player. If you want to go in that direction, all right, I get it. If you're Kyler Murray and you want your first contract, go ahead and play the game. It's the first negotiating ploy, I guess, in 2024. That's the way you guys handle your business. But if you're Klay Thompson, you're an elder statesman, you're one of the most respected players, one of the greatest to ever do it. You won four titles. You're part of, you're representative of a larger hole. And come on, man. Like, really? That's the move? Be above that. Take the high road, bro. Above the fray.
Would you have preferred that he just came out and said, yeah, I'm done? Like, if that isn't indeed awesome. What it means, would you have preferred just a public statement?
That would be awesome.
But you realize that he can't do that.
No, I know. But so either don't do anything or do that. Or
just take the flamethrower out.
Yeah, just
get on your boat and start sailing south.
Charles Barkley did. I mean, there's no roar yet.
Great. That's true.
Apples and oranges here. Apples and bowling balls, as I like to say. I mean, but he's not leaving the door open for speculation. I like that. Like, I'm done. By the way, Charles Barkley officially retiring from television.
Do we have that sound, Ken? New Jersey Ken? Yeah, if we could please play Charles Barkley's official announcement about apparently the ending of his television career.
I've talked to all the other networks, but I ain't going nowhere other than TNT. But I have made the decision myself, no matter what happens, next year is going to be my last year on television. I'm going to just retire after 25 years, and I just want to say thank you, and I wanted y'all to hear from me first.
Well, first of all, damn it.
Do you believe him, though?
Yes, I actually do.
All right. It's Charles, though. I mean,
it's the end of his contract. I mean, I still think we'll see and hear from him, but no, like, I don't know. We're not going to get that kind of show ever again. Like, we just aren't. There's no way that you can possibly recreate what they put together over the course of two decades. It's just, it's irreplicable. And that's what makes it sad in my mind that I won't be able to see and watch them anymore, is because I've been thoroughly entertained for the majority of my life by those three and then four people with Shaquille O'Neal coming on the last decade.
Yeah, I'm with you. And I think it's all because of Charles Barkley. Although, Kenny Smith is a great number two, if you want to call him. I mean, everybody plays their role perfectly, but it all centers around Barkley.
Barkley's Curry. Yeah, Barkley's the Curry of that show. And then you also got a couple other Hall of Famers. Like, I think Ernie Johnson is the most, you know.
Perfect traffic cop.
He isn't talked about like he is the focal point of the show, but he is this. He is one of the straws that stirs the drink.
Yeah, he certainly
is. Especially when I watch Lefko fill in for him. My God.
Significant drop off?
Yes, because he tries to make, and this is one of the many reasons that I love talking to you, Dan, especially about broadcasting, because you get it. You get it.
Which is why a reminder, and of course, you know how this works. Every time we talk about broadcasting and you're in the room, ladies and gentlemen, this guy is going to be a rising star. And if I do know my stuff, well, then believe what it is that I have to say, because it's gospel. And that is Evan Giddings. Say I knew him when he did Saturday mornings with Dan Devone, because he's on his way to the top like a bullet.
Well, it makes me feel better, because you also did identify Woj, too. So you knew him when he was Adrian. You knew he was on his way. No, but seriously, like, the broadcast or the it's my big issue right now with these NBA finals and the broadcasting side of things, is because I mean the games aren't very compelling, so in one breath you're as good as the product is. But in the same point with the studio shows, you have to know, like you're talking about, who the one is. If the show is not centered around you, you have to have some sort of feel of where to get in and where you fit in. Shout out Too Short. So I feel like a lot of people don't really have that feel. And I'm not perfect by any means, but I don't get that. Like, Ernie Johnson knows exactly where he fits in that show. It's all about Barkley. And then it's about Shaq. And then it's about Kenny. And then it's about me. I'm not the center of attention. And I feel like a lot of people, when I listen to games, try and make it about them. And it's not.
What is the one thing I always tell you? If I could impart, I'm not in any position to give any sort of advice, but my opinion, if you're a young broadcaster, it's the most difficult thing to sort of learn and apply. Less is more. Less is more. You don't have to dominate everything. All right, we'll get back. I want to continue the conversation about the broadcasting team currently that's doing the NBA Finals. But let's get back to Warriors talk. Magic's hanging out in Dallas. Magic, welcome to the show on a Saturday. What do you have?
What's up, Magic?
What's going on, fellas? Happy to talk to you again. It's been a little while. I do want to touch on that broadcasting thing, too, because I heard a little bit of that. And I'm not a big fan of J.J. Redick in that seat. I think what Evan's talking about and him talking over, I don't think that's a great fit. It's not that he's a bad broadcaster. I just don't know if he fits with that crew. Love Doris Burke, man. I don't know why. Something about the way that she calls a game. She's knowledgeable. She knows, you know, she knows the ins and outs of these players because she has a lot of access. So I love her on the broadcast. But anyway, about Clay, it's going to be hard to let him go, but because he's a big part of the big three, and it makes it harder that Draymond is still here and he's the one that's leaving. But that's just kind of how timing works. And
like Magic, he's gone.
Yeah, so he was saying that he likes the broadcast. Well, we'll let him. If you want to call back, Magic, we're here for you. And just continue your thought on Klay Thompson. But just getting back to what it is you said about the broadcast, this is their worst nightmare of what took place last night. I'm talking about ABC and the network. Because if it's a blowout, and you got to sugar that thing for a good, what was it, about a good hour and a half maybe left in the broadcast when that thing was done?
Whenever Kay...
Midway in the third?
Whenever New Jersey Ken showed up to the cafeteria, it was about the time the game was over. And we were there for quite some time.
I'd say an hour.
Yeah.
And so if you got garbage time for an hour and you have to provide a reason as to why people should listen. First of all, but there's going to be a good portion that's just going to tune out. It's like, okay, I'll rejoin this thing when it gets to Boston for game six. Or game five, rather.
Yeah.
But this is why Jeff Van Gundy, a bit underrated, was good. Because Jeff Van Gundy was a little quirky. Jeff Van Gundy could make things somewhat entertaining because he had a strong sense of humor. He was self-deprecating. He was insightful for things that were outside of basketball, whether that was a player, whether that was fans, whether that was his take on something that's going on as far as referees or the state of basketball or maybe the state, because he's a, you know, just his opinion on whatever that may not be relevant to the game itself. And that's an art. And so when you have a blowout like that, what the hell is Doris Burke going to tell you that's going to be somewhat entertaining? And or J.J. Redick? They're very, I mean, they're good, but they're forgettable. It's not as though we talk about Charles Barkley like, well, you know, Charles Barkley walks into the room and it's must-see TV, or I'm turning over to TNT to see Barkley. The idea that I'm going to watch the game because I want to hear what it is that J.J. Redick is going to tell me, and or Doris Burke, who I know is good, they're not really going to tell you something you didn't already know. But last night I thought it really sort of drove home and sort of really crystallized the level of talent that was Jeff Van Gundy, who could actually make that thing somewhat entertaining, even though the game in hand had been decided, you know, pretty much midway through the second quarter.
Well, and something that I feel like I'm watching the NBA Finals with an ear for what would have Jeff Van Gundy and Mark Jackson said in that spot. For example, there was a play in game two, I think it was, and Green goes up for the Mavericks and he gets fouled at the end of a half on a three-point shot by Kristaps Porzingis. And J.J. Redick says something along the lines of, that was a really smart play by insert Mavericks player. In my mind, I'm waiting for Jeff Van Gundy to say, no, it wasn't.
Exactly.
It was a stupid play by Porzingis. Quit giving a guy credit for someone else making a mistake. Now, he would say it in a more affable tone, and he would say it in a way that's funny and joking, but it was serious because he would call it like it is. I don't get the feeling, and right, it's their first time together, working together in the NBA Finals. You're probably not trying to step on any toes. But my biggest issue, because I think individually, Doris Burke and J.J. Redick are good at what they do. I think J.J. Redick is I really enjoy his podcast. I think he's knowledgeable. Not the one with LeBron, but the one, the old man of the three. I think he does really insightful interviews. He has access that no one else can get. He brings a player perspective that's very unique. He and Doris are too similar. They're too similar with how they talk about the game, the praise, the unnecessary praise that they heap upon the most basic parts of basketball. And it just feels a little forced, and it feels not phony, but kind of like fake
praise.
You
have two straight men.
Last night was an atrocity of your Boston. You got beat by 38 points in a finals game. That is the third worst margin of defeat ever in an NBA Finals game. For a team that was on the verge of, I'm not saying that they had to sweep, but they came out last night and they were flat. They were gutless last night because they knew that the series was won. And that's not how I want to see champs act. They were down 48 points in an NBA Finals game. And that's a team that won 64 games, that has the greatest offensive rating of all time, that had a chance to do something historic by going 16-2 in the postseason, and they came out flat. They're probably going to win game five at home, and who knows, maybe they wanted to, but that was a lackadaisical effort. That was not a fun product to put forth. And as a viewer, I felt like the Celtics shouldn't have even showed up for the game. That's the kind of analysis I feel like we would have heard from someone like Jeff Van Gundy and Mark Jackson, who have been in those situations, who understand what is actually happening in front of them. And whether it's because of experience or because of chemistry, they're not afraid to call it like it is. And I just don't feel like I'm getting enough of that from this particular
group. I'm going to leave that alone. Well said. Drop the mic, young fella. All right, let's continue and give Magic in Dallas another opportunity. You wanted to talk about Klay Thompson. Magic, how are you, buddy? Did you get into an area where you can hear and, more importantly, talk to us?
Yes, apparently I was in a bad spot, so I apologize. But I'll make it quick about Klay. Basically, what I'm saying is going to be painful to let him leave, especially because Draymond is still here, and you feel like he would be the one out of the big three with Steph that would stay, and Draymond would be out of here. But it's going to have to be painful, and they may not be great next year. And really, we only have 2-3 years left, maybe, of Steph being great. But I think this is going to have to turn into something like the Spurs did when Tim Duncan and...
Dallas is a tough spot.
Yeah, Dallas, try us again.
Another magic trick.
Yeah. Dallas, just keep calling us every 5 minutes. We'll get it out of you.
No, but I think the point is taken, though. You know, he wants to have the Warriors evolve. And I think, again, in theory, I think that's exactly what they should do. They have to evolve. And they have to do it while also trying to, you know, maximize Steph. Or I think he's still a great player, and how do you remain competitive with him on the team? But it's just, it's a lot easier said than done. And that's why I think they're in some trouble this summer, is because there's not many avenues for them to evolve while also remaining competitive. I think it does feel like to me, Dan, that you're right, that either you have to remain old, which might keep you in the same place, or you have to kind of just lean into your younger players and hope that they're good enough to kind of fill that void that would inevitably be left by somebody like Klay Thompson.
Well, I think that when I say that they need to go young, I'm not saying that all of a sudden it's Pajemski at the two guard, Trayce Jackson-Davis, your starting center, and Kuminga, your forward, because I don't know that Pajemski and Trayce Jackson-Davis have been in the league long enough, nor have we seen a large enough sample size to really know who they are as far as their NBA productivity in their careers and or labeling these guys. They could be role players. But I do know that you have to find out. And if you're thinking about, here's the other thing that I think is going to happen this offseason. I think there's going to be a significant trade, and I think Jonathan Kuminga is gone. And I do think that's going to bring back that younger number two that has been so coveted. Who it is, I have no idea. But
he is a young number two, though, Kuminga.
Yeah, but I think that there's,
by process of elimination,
there's too many holes in his game that, at least the way the Warriors perceive things, that they need somebody who's not as much of a project at this point. And as much growth as we've seen out of Jonathan Kuminga this past year, I think that the Warriors need a level of security. Like, I know that this guy is going to give me 25 and 10. That I know that this veteran or this player who's still in his 20s or late 20s is going to, because he's established as a star in this league. Jonathan Kuminga is still sort of hit or miss. I think the Warriors would tell you as much. And that's why I think that while he's so young and there's so much talent, that he is your one asset. And so I think that the Warriors will trade him to sort of restructure this team and to get younger and to find that co-star or the number two to that of Steph Curry. But I do think that the younger players are still going to be a role for them. And that's got to be your focus. Whoever this next player is, and then staying young with the Pajemskis and making trades and moves so that the average age on this team is not like that of the Sequoias. Shout out the retirement community on Laguna and Post. But you're
that's
getting
prime real estate,
you're
right
getting
there
to an area where, you know, you're not only getting, you're getting younger, and you're creating a future for the team where it's not all about the here and now. I think part of Steph Curry is resigned to the fact that there's a good chance that this isn't going to happen. A lot of people think that, hey, listen, you got to do this for Steph. He's running out of time. He's got to win another title.
Move, you mean?
No, well, I'm just talking about Steph Curry as far as his outlook with the Warriors and playing basketball going forward. I think he, much like LeBron, he's not going anywhere. He's not leaving the Bay Area. This is where his kids are from. This is where he recognizes, he and Iguodala, how fertile Silicon Valley is and all the money and entrepreneurial things that they're doing. And just like LeBron is not leaving L.A., right? That's where his family is ensconced, in L.A., in Brentwood. And so I think part of LeBron recognizes that it's a long shot that I actually won another title at my age, right? Maybe I'll squeeze one out, even though I'm as, you know, everybody perceives me as work and I go to win a title. I'm just not leaving the area, and there's a good chance that I'm not going to win here. And I think to a certain degree, Steph is the same way. Although I'll never admit it publicly, and maybe a lot of people will never believe what it is that I'm having to say, but I think that Steph has come to the realization as he gets older that, well, I hope I win a title with the Golden State Warriors, but the chances are unlikely. It doesn't mean I'm going to demand a trade. It doesn't mean that I'm going to pout. It just means I'm going to ride this thing to the sunset with the Golden State Warriors, because quality of life and living here has trumped all of that as I get older. As much as I want to win a title, my kids, I'm not uprooting them and moving them across the country. This is where I'm going to be. But I'm with the Warriors, win or lose. So this idea that we got to win for Steph, or he's not going to resign, or he's not going to be happy, true to a certain degree, but I also think they have to entertain the fact that Steph ain't going anywhere, and he's a Bay Area guy for the remainder of his career.
I don't think he's going anywhere either. And in fact, he actually just bought a building in the dog patch for his new Curry Enterprise. I forget what the name of his company is. But anyways, yeah, no, he is entrenched in the Bay Area. But I also don't want people to take his kindness for weakness. Like, the fact that Curry is such a level-headed dude, and he's very kind, and he's charitable, and he's still an insane competitor. Now, I don't think that Curry would ask for a trade or want. I think he wants to be here. And it's one of the reasons why I think Klay Thompson should do everything in his power to stay, because I think this is the best place for Klay Thompson. I think it's also the best place for Draymond Green. I think it's the best place for those three to ideally ride in and ride out together. The Warriors are just trying to figure out how competitive they can be while prioritizing that. Like, I don't know if Klay Thompson is the biggest priority for them this offseason, even though they've made claims that he is. I just think that, right now, Dan, the Warriors are... Well, let me run this by you, because I actually think it's interesting. Someone like Jonathan Kuminga, who is contract extension eligible this summer, he profiles as the guy that should scrub his social media. Like, if he really wants, the bag, if he wants the Jordan Poole bag, so to speak, he's the one that should be scrubbing his social media. And yet Klay Thompson is the one doing it. He's the guy that we're talking about today. I just think it's interesting that a lot of people will scrub their social media, and the younger, the younger person does, the Gen Zer, the person who's looking for his first bag. And Jonathan Kuminga has not made a single stink this summer yet about his future with the team, when he is the one that's eligible to make more money than Klay Thompson. I find that fascinating.
Yeah, and don't get me wrong. I'm a Jonathan Kuminga fan of this guy. I think that for whatever reason, I thought it was really poignant on what it is that the Warriors had to say post-mortem after the season, on their exit interviews, essentially, with Steph Curry, along with Dunleavy. It was almost as if it was rehearsed, that while they said, we're going to do everything within our power to bring back Klay Thompson, Draymond Green isn't going anywhere. And then when it came to Jonathan Kuminga, the door was slightly ajar, that, yes, we like Jonathan Kuminga. However, there are things that he needs to work on. So I'm basing that exclusively that I think that the Warriors recognize that this huge asset is going to be the trade chip that's going to bring back that number two to Steph Curry. Do they think they should do it? Hell, I don't know. I think that guy's future, it's just scary, scary how good this guy can be.
Well, there is someone we could talk to at 11:30, because Dan Dibley, of course, co-host of Willard and Dibbs, is going to be joining us live from Fremont Bank, where they're celebrating 60 years. So Dan Dibley will be live from there, calling in about 5 or 6 minutes on the other side. So I know that they had the news break about Klay Thompson scrubbing his social media on the show yesterday. I'm curious to hear what his thoughts are, as well as some of the takes he has on these various subjects, because there is a lot that's going to start coming to the surface with Golden State, and it feels like it's taken a while. But Dan, I don't know if it's because of my disinterest in anything really beyond the second round in the NBA playoffs. And I would say the Denver-Minnesota series was the series that grabbed me as a fan, or as an average fan, without any skin in the game. The finals haven't really done it. So everything right now after the finals ends is probably tomorrow, or what do they play on Monday? I forget the schedule, honestly. It hasn't been that important to me. But after that, then everything comes to the fore for Golden State with their decisions to make. Is it a trade for Kuminga? Is it re-signing or letting Klay walk? Is it extending Jonathan Kuminga? What is the first thing that they can do? I'm curious to see what Dan Dibley thinks about that on the other side.
Where's Dibley?
At Fremont Bank.
Okay.
In Fremont.
So why am I learning this now that he's joining the show?
New Jersey Ken, would you care to pop the mic and reveal to Dan why this is the first time he's heard about it?
Because... I don't know.
That's the answer, because... No,
you'd be a hell of a trial attorney there, Jersey Ken. No, let's hear what Dibs has got to say. He's the guy who broke this news. I'm curious to.
Well, he didn't break the news, but he reacted to it when it broke. He did text me though. He said, "quote I got takes." So it's not just going to be about plugging.
Just lost
much.
Me. Do I? Like I'm running this thing today. Do I got to put Dibs on?
Actually, yes.
Okay.
yes, we do.
He does have some
live
learning.
From Fremont Bank.
Fremont Bank,
one of our very valued partners here, 95.7 The Game.
Yes, we want to hear from Dibs from Fremont Bank. He's coming up straight ahead. He's going to give his thoughts on Klay Thompson scrubbing his account. We'll also ask Dibs if he's ever scrubbed his account or been unfollowed or unfollowed anybody. That is a riveting tease, my man.
Yes, it is, Dan.
We'll do that and much more. It's Dan Dibley from...
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Hillard and Dibs. That and much more. We continue right after this. It's not the Hamptons. It's not 2016 and 2017, okay? Obama's not president anymore.
Now back to 95.7 The Game.
Welcome back to the 11:30 hour alongside Evan Giddings and Jersey Ken. It is Dan Devone. We're talking about the Golden State Warriors and more specifically one Klay Thompson who decided to scrub his social media account of all things that represent the Golden State Warriors. And of course, as was his intent and or his agents, we're here to try and pull back the layers, sort of understand what it is that he was trying to get across. And that's why they planted this seed, so that Evan and Dan would sit here and break this thing down. Well done, Klay. Well done. Taking up 2.5 hours of our day trying to understand through your passive-aggressive nature what it is that you're trying to accomplish. Next time, just come out and say it, man. You'll be all right, okay? Dan Dibley is standing by. We want to go out to Fremont Bank. Full service banking, no compromises, celebrating their 60th anniversary. That's where we find the star of Willard and Dibs. Primetime. Dibley standing by on a rooftop, apparently in Fremont, California. Dibs, welcome to the show.
What's up, Dibs?
Man?
Oh, what's up, guys? Double D, Dan Devone, Evan Giddings. I am so honored to be a part of your show. You guys are killing it, by the way. I was listening to the show on my way down here. I'm at the Fremont Bank headquarters, which is a brand new building at Capitol and Fremont here in downtown Fremont. And by the way, I am on the roof of this building, and it happens to be the tallest building in the city of Fremont. And if I look to my north, slightly to the west, I think I can see the beautiful head of hair that sits atop of Dan Devone.
Well, what's the second tallest building in Fremont? 7-Eleven?
Boy, that's it. It's funny you say that, because I went by about four 7-Elevens, none of which is more than one story. But what they're doing down here in Fremont, which, as you well know, Dan, is the fourth most populous city in the Bay Area, down near a quarter million people now, they're developing an entire downtown corridor on Capitol Avenue. And so the Fremont Bank headquarters, six stories tall, is going to be really the anchor building on what's going to be, over the next 5 to 10 years, a completely revamped downtown Fremont.
Well, that is awesome, Dibs. And I'm sure they really appreciate you not only, you know, vocalizing, but also, you know, being there, drawing a lot of eyes to one of our very valuable partners here at 95.7 The Game. But one other thing, of course, we want to run by you is what we've been discussing today. And you said you heard a little bit of the conversation, so I want to bring you into it, because I feel like you are more appropriate than any to speak on Klay Thompson and his unfollowing of the Warriors, because the news literally broke on your show yesterday. So, you know, kind of what was your first reaction? And now that you've had a chance to sleep on it, do you feel any different about it? Is it all about nothing, or much to do about nothing? You know, where do you fall on Klay doing this, unfollowing the Warriors?
Well, it's two pieces, Evan. The first piece is kind of the old school me, which is like, how can this be news? This is so stupid that somebody making an unfollow and scrubbing an account, like, that can't be a thing. And then I realize, in this modern day and age, what you kids do, Evan, you young whippersnappers, this is exactly what you do when you want to communicate. So it's actually a huge thing, and it plays right along with what I've been saying for the better part of 2 or 3 months. I do think that Klay is leaving. I've long thought Klay was leaving. They reportedly offered him 2 years and $48 million back in November. He said no to that. And honestly, guys, I don't think that the offer that they would give him now is going to be any bigger or any longer than what they already did. And I think Klay wants more years. I think he'll get more years. I think he'll get more money. He'll have a chance to play a bigger role in a different team. And so I think this, here in the middle of June, still 2 weeks away from free agency beginning, I think this is the sign that he's decided that the deal that he would want from the Warriors is not going to happen. So, yeah, I think it's a big deal, and I think this signals what's going to happen here in 16 days. He's gone.
Dibs, is that a good or a bad thing for the Golden State Warriors to move forward without Klay Thompson?
It's only good if they can make a big swing and bring in a player who can help them become more relevant than they were this past year. Because, Dan, I was saying this on the show yesterday, if you just bring everybody back from last year without Chris Paul, he's going to be gone, you were a 10 seed. And miss me with that narrative that they were 3 wins away from being a 6 seed. Fine, that might be true, but you're not as good as Denver. Dallas is better than you. Oklahoma City's younger and faster. Minnesota's too tall. So what are we even talking about here? If Klay Thompson leaves, and I think he's going to, you had better do something to replace him. And if that means using Kuminga in a trade, so be it. You got 2 more years of Steph. I don't think that you can be a championship team anyway, but you got to do something to try to replace the good outside shooting that Klay Thompson brings, if nothing else.
It is interesting, Dibs, because, look, I mean, I feel like the move is one that is both strategic as well as immature. And I think it's funny that a 34 going on 35-year-old is the one kind of scrubbing his social media. I don't know if it's, you know, a technological cleanse, you know, a millennial form of meditation. I don't know what it is, but it does feel strange that someone, say, like Jonathan Kuminga, who is in the prototypical position where someone both his age and in his situation due up for his extension eligible this summer, he would be the one, if we're taking the likes of, you know, the Ayukes, the Debos, the guys that are getting their first bag, typically use scrubbing social media as a negotiation tactic. Kuminga would profile as the guy to do that. And yet he has not, number one, done that, but number two, hasn't really made much of a peep or a stink about anything regarding his future with Golden State. So, you know, whether it's a trade or not, I just find it fascinating that Klay Thompson's the one that's doing this when there literally is a kid who's 21 years old that profiles as the kind of guy that would.
Yeah, and you're right about that. And I think if Kuminga did it, it would be more of a tactic. But this, to me, is more of a tantrum. Mm. And, you know, I've got a 21-month-old, and she likes to watch Coco Melon. And when you turn off Coco Melon, she throws herself on the floor, and she has a tantrum, and then it's over. So if you're a 34-year-old shooting guard, and you realize that things aren't really going your way as far as a Warriors contract extension, you don't have any other real way to communicate your frustration other than going to social media and going the scrub route. So I do think that this is more tantrum than tactic, because honestly, there is no tactic for Klay to make. If the Warriors are telling Klay, look, we're going to wait until well into free agency to make a decision on you, and Klay wants to be prioritized, well, then there's nothing Klay can do right now. He has to wait until July 1st to sign a deal elsewhere. And if the Warriors wanted to extend him, they would have had that opportunity to do it back in December, January, February, etc. So right now, Klay's got no other way to express himself other than through this passive-aggressive move.
Dibs, so Ev follows the girls that he's dating. My man, Jersey Ken, follows his wife. My whole point to the kids is, listen, once you're together, there's no reason to follow each other. You know what the hell you had for lunch or what you're wearing that particular day. They push back at me. I'm saying that once you're together, there's no need to follow one another. So then when you unfollow somebody, it doesn't become this big event.
Well, if you've been around as long as Fremont Bank has, then yes. But I don't know. Talk to him, Dibs.
What are you doing? Do you follow your wife, Dibs?
I do follow my wife, which is hilarious, and she follows me as well. But funny you put it that way, because virtually everything she does, I'm either a part of or I'm aware of it. But it comes down more, Dan, to just general clout and respect. Like, I follow Mark Willard, and I follow Bonte and Joe and Steiny and Guru, and these are people that I spend more time with, really, than my own family, yet I follow them. And so it's not so much about being in the know with people you're surrounded by. It's about clout and respect. I will say this, though. Of all those people I mentioned that I follow, most of them are muted.
Well done. All right, Dib. So wait, just fill me in here. Is this like the meatpacking district in New York? Is this a roof deck party? Is there an open bar? What are we doing on the roof here?
I'm sitting next to bankers and Supervisor David Halbert, who is a supervisor in this county. The mayor of Fremont is here. There's champagne. And I looked out on the street, guys, and there are literally hundreds, if not thousands, of people out here. You've got food trucks. You've got free drinks with drink tickets. There's a raffle with 60 prizes. All you have to do is come on down Fremont Boulevard and Capitol Avenue. You get registered. You get a wristband. You get drink tickets. Chewy Gomez from 102 Jams is out here spinning music on the ones and twos. It's an absolute street party. It's a fiesta. And your boy is about 90 seconds away from tipping a couple back and getting into real Dibber Claws mode. If you're in Fremont, come on out. I've already met a handful of listeners. Ain't no party like a bank party, guys. Capitol Avenue and Fremont Boulevard will be here till 2. Tell them Dibber Claws sent you.
Well, while we have you for another 90 or maybe at this point 60 seconds, I do want to broach the subject of banking with you, because I think there's a quarterback in the South Bay that might be in need of Fremont Bank considering the payday that is going to be coming his way next summer. I'm talking about Brock Purdy. I know you guys discussed the impact that Trevor Lawrence's $275 million contract yesterday has on Brock Purdy, but what was your immediate, like your first thought in regards to Brock Purdy when you saw the golden child, Trevor Lawrence, get his bag?
Well, I thought that he's going to get a bag that's equally that big, if not bigger, depending on what kind of a year he has. And guys, do yourself a favor and look at Trevor Lawrence's year last year, which I believe was about 4,000 yards, 21 touchdowns, 14 picks, and a 9-8 record. If Brock Purdy has that year, which would be a regression, and it would be a major disappointment for a Super Bowl favorite, he still is getting $50 million a year.
Mm.
Dan Dibley, Dibs, once again, give him the address, and just before you sign off, just tell people where you're at and how they can find you.
It's a Fremont Bank headquarters grand opening, tallest building in Fremont, gorgeous construction, food trucks, beer, cocktails, beer, games. Did I mention beer? Fremont Boulevard and Capitol Avenue. People are streaming in to hear Chewy Gomez, DJ, Dan Dibley, Half in the Bag. Come on out and enjoy the gorgeousness that is the Fremont Bank headquarters. It's a grand opening, folks. Come on out. Fremont Boulevard and Capitol Avenue. Get here soon. Get here often. It's the Fremont Bank grand opening.
Dan Dibley, ladies and gentlemen, from Fremont Bank. Thanks, Dibs. We'll see and hear you on Monday.
My man.
All right, guys. Double D, Evan. See you soon.
I got to get out there. Actually, I am headed that way, honestly. Well, towards Pleasant Hill, but might have to make a minor detour down into downtown Fremont. I didn't realize there are 250,000 people there. That population is growing. I grew up in El Cerrito, where there was like 30,000.
You're an El Cerrito guy?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Wait, oh, yeah. Where did you go to high school once again?
St. Mary's College High School.
St. Mary's. Yeah, okay.
Catholic school kid, though.
Yeah.
Familiar. Brother went to EC, but grew up right up the
What's
block.
What's EC?
El Cerrito.
Don't go with lingo on me like I live in the East Bay.
Dude, you literally went to a place that people refer to as SI. That is St. Ignatius for those not in the know.
All right. Let's close things talking about here in the final 15 minutes.
Don't make me unfollow you.
How do you? I'll leave it up to you. Where do you want to go? Do you want to go? I mean, we can do a much deeper dive into the San Francisco Giants and the lack of pitching on that baseball team as they lose to one of the worst teams in baseball, that being the Angels.
Well, here's something that I've been thinking about with the San Francisco Giants, and I think first pitch is around 1 o'clock today. They got embarrassed last night by the LA Angels, who are not a very good baseball team. So take that from what you will. But to me, Jorge Soler,
God, what is his deal?
He's the reason why the Giants will never be able to sign a big bat. He is. He is the poster boy for underachievement from power hitting sluggers.
Because of the stadium?
If you look at what he's hit at Oracle Park compared to what he's done on the road, and he ain't done much overall, but if you look at what he does at Oracle Park versus what he does away from it, it is night and day. All the power comes when he leaves San Francisco. And we were talking, I think it was on Thursday, to Brett Boone, who actually you know quite well from your time in Seattle. He was discussing how hitting on the road in Candlestick, the old Candlestick Park, wasn't something that he was necessarily afraid of. And so I was just curious, like, what the difference is between going there on the road, because there are players that come into San Francisco and hit the crap out of the ball. Just look at the New York Yankees a couple weekends ago. But knowing that you're going to play in a place for 81 games, I truly believe, Dan, that the deterrent for position players or for big-name boppers, it's not the city. It is the ballpark. And so in one case, it is a blessing that it is a mausoleum, it is an acropolis. It is a beautiful venue to go watch a game, to enjoy my favorite sport. But for players, it is the deterrent. And the San Francisco Giants are not going to be able to get rid of that deterrent. And I just don't think that anybody worth their salt as a home run hitter is going to look at that park and say, that's where I want to go play.
Well, that's fine. Because they never really, I mean, aside from Barry Bonds, and you didn't win any World Series with Barry Bonds, I don't think that's, you know, I don't think it's anything new. It's certainly, you know, I think relevant because Soler's dealing with it right now. But this is a team that should be built around gap-to-gap pitching, speed, and defense. I mean, that's essentially how they won their titles. I'm trying to think. I mean, Buster Posey could go deep, but it wasn't necessarily a team that had a murderer's row, if
you
will. Yeah,
I mean, Posey never hit 30 home runs.
Yeah, so this isn't... The Soler thing is just... Listen, man, you don't even have to hit it out of the park. How about just when there's runners in scoring position, you're just coming through? I mean, maybe you don't hit for a home run, but can you give me an average? I mean, how about just squaring something up? I mean, that is... He's sort of like... As much as we want to go after Snell, Farhan, I mean, I don't put that on Farhan. I mean, Soler was a good offseason signing. It's just now it's a matter of him producing. So Yeah, we can make the excuse that it's the stadium, but brother, come on, man. Some of this is falling directly on your shoulders.
No, it is, but my point is that if this guy, Jorge Soler, who's 6'4", 240 pounds, I mean, if you see him in person, and Ken can tell you he's been out to the ballpark as well, New Jersey Ken can, he is a monstrosity of a man. He is a massive, massive human being, is he not? Who? Jorge Soler.
Oh, yeah. I saw him in the clubhouse. Jacked.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, big boy. And when you look at the few seasons that he's remained healthy, I mean, that's really been the biggest question about his career. It's not the power, at least until this season. It's been, can he stay on the field? He's played 100 games of his first 11 seasons, or his first 10 seasons, I should say, only four times has he got more than 100 games under his belt. Each time that he has played, essentially a full season. Kansas City did it once. He did it once between Kansas City and Atlanta when he was named MVP of the World Series. And then last season in Miami. The fewest home runs that he has hit has been 27. The most that he's hit has been 48. So I think a lot of players are looking at someone like Jorge Soler and saying that is the definition of a home run hitter.
Yeah.
That is the definition of a power hitter. And even he cannot conquer Oracle Park, which is supposed to be a place that hurts lefties but doesn't hurt righties as much. And that's just not been the case. And so, in a way, I think you're right. Farhan did make a smart signing of Jorge Soler this offseason because I think he got him at a relative bargain. He's a guy that profiles as a bopper, insert in the middle of the order, be able to drive in runs, all the rest. But in a way, I feel like the fact that he has not succeeded specifically at Oracle Park almost hurts you in trying to court future free agents.
I think Chris Bryant did well here. In his brief stint with the San Francisco Giants. I mean, yeah, look, he hasn't played well.
He hasn't hit well.
You can look at this. Well, he doesn't play in the field, so.
No.
He's a one-dimensional. So, if he was to go down with another injury, it's not the worst thing that could happen to this team because you got Luciano and Matos who can come right back up. If Luciano can't play shortstop, well, you sure as hell can be a DH for this baseball team, right? I mean, the one thing he did prove is that he can make contact.
Yeah.
And so I don't think that if Soler for some reason can't play, then it's the perfect spot to get Luciano's back in the majors and back with the San Francisco Giants. But Soler is a guy that for whatever reason, maybe because he intimidates the crap out of everybody, that he for whatever reason is not he has not received a lot of the criticism that some of the other players and some of the other front office officials, namely Farhan, have received. But, yeah, it's time to and the same thing now is with Snell. I think that the grace period is over. Would you agree? And we know he's a notorious slow starter. That compounded with the fact that he missed spring training. He was dealing with an injury. Like, come on, man. We're getting into mid-June. Where the hell are you? And you're pulling down over $30 million a year. Let's go.
Yeah. I mean,
I was giving him the benefit of the doubt, but now, come on. Let's go, man.
No, that's the thing. It's like on paper, this profiles as one of the best, if not the best, starting rotations in baseball. If I told you that you could have a healthy and effective Blake Snell, Logan Webb, Robbie Ray, Alex Cobb, Kyle Harrison, you'd take that 7 days a week. I mean, that is a strong starting five. The issue is, one, a few of them are not healthy yet, Blake Snell also being one of them. And then when they have been, the only two guys that have had any sort of consistency. And by the way, I didn't even throw Jordan Hicks in there because Hicks could be a sixth man or could be a sixth starter. You could also put him back in the bullpen. Right. They're not, Logan Webb and Jordan Hicks have been the most consistent starters for this baseball team. But to go back, Dan, to the home run issue, there's only one ballpark that's been played in at the professional level over the last three seasons that is harder to hit home runs in. And this is factually damning. Would you like to know that stadium?
What is it?
It's in London. I'm serious. It is London Stadium. That's the only other place.
That's a trick question.
Yeah, well, exactly. That's my point, though. The Oracle Park is literally the hardest place to hit a home run. And it's just, well, number one, it shows up because the Giants don't do it. I mean, they're not dead last in home runs. But I just find it very difficult to believe that an offense in 2024 in the modern day can consistently produce runs without the help of the home run ball. And so there's going to be a lot of games, like I would say the last series at home against the Astros, where you're winning 2-1 or 1-0 like they did against the Phillies a couple weeks back, or 5-3. They're not going to put up big numbers. And it just means that there's going to be a lot of games that you're kind of, we're in the sixth inning and there's three hits. And that's not a product that to me is, I think, interesting for a lot of average baseball fans.
Well, I think that's sort of where baseball is out collectively. I think you look at the league average. Right now the Giants are hitting somewhere around 245 in that neighborhood, which is right about the median of Major League Baseball this year. This is sort of like 1968 before they lowered the mound and Bob Gibson was just owning everybody. It's just baseball numbers we thought would, after the rule changes of a year ago and eliminating the shift, would head in the other direction. But that hasn't been the case this year.
You got to go back to juice balls, Dan.
I mean, it's just everybody's right around 240. Everybody comes to the plate, like hitting about 245. I mean, that's just, I think.
But that's why you need the home run more than ever now, is because the averages are dipping to a place we haven't seen them before. And so if you're not going to get the amount of hits like you used to, like, for example, the 2012 team, we talked about this because it was Matt Cain's 12-year anniversary of his perfect game, I think, yesterday. Or maybe it was 2 days ago. But that team was literally dead last in the National League in home runs. They still won games because they were able to hit as a team around 270. If you're telling me a team can't hit 270, and if they do, they have bevy of bats, well, then I need you to hit some home runs. And this Giants team cannot do
it. Well, think about, it was just a short, two, 3 years ago, 2021, when they won 106 games.
Yeah.
Who led the National League in home runs? So it can be done.
They did, but I would say that most of those were not at home. Now, they hit more at Oracle Park than they have, you know, in recent memory. But I think that in terms of total home runs, they were still middle of the pack at Oracle. They did a lot of their damage with the bat and the bombs on the road.
Well, then let that be. Then do it on the road, Soler. You know,
yeah.
You know, who cares where you do it? Just do it.
Yeah.
So I think Soler is, I hear what you're saying, but he's been a disappointment regardless of whether or not he's hitting home runs on the road or at home.
I think the only free agent that hasn't been a disappointment is Matt Chapman. I guess Jordan Hicks. Jordan Hicks has been good.
Is Jordan Hicks sustainable, though?
I have my doubts.
I mean, I'm with you. If you're thinking about getting Robbie Ray back, and if you're hoping on Alex Cobb coming back, listen, Robbie Ray had, Tommy John surgery, which is usually 2 years. It's been barely a year. He ain't pitching this year. Sorry to break it to you.
Oh, no. Yes, he is.
You think Robbie Ray will come back this
year?
He's
been promised. I don't know if he is, but I hope he is.
And when you shut down.
They need him.
When you shut down your man Alex Cobb because of a shoulder injury, that ain't a good sign. In the middle of his rehab, you shut down anybody, it's like, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, New Jersey Ken's still waiting on Kodai Senga, who's had about 17 setbacks.
Yeah, he won't be back until the All-Star break, or so we think.
Oh, boy.
All right, Jersey Ken. So So, Jersey Ken, are you seriously, will you get on Instagram and see what it is that your wife posted today?
She's not really much of a poster. That's the kind of the beauty of it all. Like, I don't really have to, like, unless it's something about my kid and she'll add me to the story and then I just add it to my story because, you know, my kid.
All right. Makes sense.
You got to post about your kid.
You got to post.
About,
you know,
your kid.
I'm going to post something specifically for you today. Will you follow me?
I don't follow you.
Well, I don't know.
I unfollowed you. I scrubbed you from my social media.
And on that,
to send a message.
For my man, Evan Giddings, it's Jersey Ken. This is Dan Devone. It's been fun. We'll see you back here next week. Until then, enjoy the weekend, everybody. So long. Do you want to be on top?
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.